Great Life Game Plan, session number 24.
The secret to a great life is to figure out how to have a great day, a great week, a great month, and just repeat that over and over and over again.
The only person you need to be better than is the person you used to be.
Your Great Life Game Plan. Health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, semicolon, not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. I'm Dr. Scott Little, and on this show, we talk about the principles of healthy aging, stress management, fat burning, relationships recovery, personal development, all sorts of things that might go into your game plan or strategy for an amazing and wonderful life. And with me in the studio, welcoming back my gorgeous wife, Karen. Karen, I think it's been several sessions since you've been on,
it has,
on the show.
Yes, yes.
And our good friend, Coach John Barrett.
Woo!
Good,
yes.
Good day, sir.
Good to be here with you guys.
Well, it's always great to have both of you in the studio. And, sometimes we do remote calls. John, we've done a remote call, but you're local enough to where it's awesome just to,
that's right,
to
not
have
too
you
far away.
Come into the studio. Our first session for 2016.
Nice.
We won't spend a whole lot of time talking about Christmas and New Year's and so forth. But
it's done.
But I don't know if you had the same experience ringing in the new year, John, that Karen and I did. Did you by any chance spend New Year's Eve with your arresting officer?
I did not. I was sick with my family at the house, so we
bummer.
Yeah, so you know we were incarcerated in the house with sickness and that. So,
well, now wait a minute. I want to clarify.
Yes,
neither of us was incarcerated.
Yes, that's true.
Well,
so what about
well,
you
not,
guys?
Well, not this year.
Yeah.
But Karen,
many years ago.
That's not why we spent time with the arresting
yes.
officer.
Yeah, well, Karen, tell that story. That's a great story.
Okay, so we had the opportunity. A lot of people know that about 7 years, a little over 7 years ago, I was arrested for public intox in a little city called Martinsville, not really too little, just north of us here. And I was always wondering how I would be able to track that officer down. I'd love to be able to meet her, talk to her, things like that. So I was driving through Martinsville the day before New Year's, and I said, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go into Martinsville. I'm going to see if I can't figure out how to track this person down. And so I stopped at the jail first. They were able to look up the case and tell me exactly
wow.
who the officer was. And she has actually been up promoted to a detective, so
nice.
She was no longer a street officer, but I went by City Hall, and...
Well, she got her upgrade because of your arrest.
I don't think so, probably, but, you know,
you,
hey.
Yeah.
So I went by, and she wasn't there, but I left him my card, and I said, this is why I'm asking, can you have her call me? So when you leave after that kind of a situation, especially police department... Really, somebody's kind of wanting to
You're
talk
like,
to
yeah,
an arresting
this, no,
officer.
Nothing's,
yeah,
nothing's
right.
ever
so
going to happen here.
I was kind of praying on the way home. I was like, okay, God, just, you know, I would love to be able to sit down and talk to her. So if this is supposed to happen, just make this happen for me. Mm. Didn't really expect to hear from her, at least until the next day, if not later. Well, about 4:30 that afternoon, about an hour and a half later, I get a phone call from her.
Wow.
So we were able to talk for about 10 or 15 minutes and kind of able to... let her know kind of what's going on in my life and in my world, and was able to thank her a little bit. But the biggest thing was that I was able to talk her into meeting with Scott and I on New Year's Eve. And so we sat down with her on New Year's Eve up in Martinsville for about a little over an hour. And just we were all three able to share our side of what was going on, what was
wow.
going through our minds, what were our emotions. And she was able to share about, you know, she wasn't the first officer on the scene, and the guy that was the first officer really just didn't know what to do. He was just kind of, because he was new, and he's like, I don't know what to do with this.
What do I do this, lady?
So she...
She's like, I got this.
Yeah, she did. She was like, I got this. It's okay. So,
wow.
But it was so cool. And then about 4 days later... 4 or 5 days later, she actually sent me a copy of my mugshot from that day.
Yes.
And I just, when Scott and I laughed at, or saw it, the very first thing we did was laugh. I mean, it was just, we were rolling, and I'm like.
You know, sometimes people's mugshots just look hideous. And Karen's blood alcohol level at that point was like a 3.64. And actually, we've always thought it was a 3.68. Now we get to see the police reporter, and it's only a 3.64. So Karen's been living a 4/100
of a lie.
Of a lie for so many
it's
years.
It's all the same that high, right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, yeah, posted your mugshot and let people post
I said,
some
I did.
Captions.
I posted it. I said, you know, because I had posted about my experience on Facebook, and a lot of people had read through it. And I had said, you know, the biggest thing that I wanted to do was tell her thank you, because I believe that if she had not arrested me, and she didn't have to, but if she had not arrested me that night then or that day, then I wouldn't have made it another 3.5 years to find sobriety. So because that created a support system underneath me to keep me from going too far down. And even though it took 3.5 years, it was her doing that opened the eyes for everybody else for that support system. And it was amazing.
It takes what it takes. Now, the other cool thing was you said she had just talked to her dispatcher and shared that she was really frustrated with her job. And
yeah, she was having a really hard time and sorry, guys. Having a really hard time with her job and really questioning why she's doing what she's doing.
Was this when she arrested you, or you're saying currently?
The day before, like New Year's, when I went in to find her. So she said it was no accident that...
Oh, yeah.
It was no accident that... that I stopped by there that day. So,
well, it gave her a boost of purpose, you know,
it
and
did.
What she's doing.
And she's like, nobody ever comes and says thank you to their arresting officer. She says, but
that's
knowing...
That's probably the first time she ever heard that.
Yeah, and she said, just knowing that you are doing so well, it just gives me hope that...
Yes.
And that was part of what I posted on Facebook was, if you're an officer, please, please, please don't ever question why you do what you do, because you never know how far-reaching... what you may think, say, or do today will affect the lives of millions in the future. And because of her arrest, my brother has become a police officer and has specialized in drug and alcohol intervention and arrests, and has made in his 3-year career close to 100 DUI arrests, which is unheard of. It's the highest in... Gosh, I think it's the highest in the state of Missouri, but certainly in his district. And he's been recognized as the top officer in Missouri by MAD.
Wow.
So just what she did has affected so many other people, not to mention me in recovery and reaching out to people and doing what
I'm doing
now.
She would have never known that.
She never would have known that.
Yeah, she would have just gone on thinking, potentially, I mean, who knows, but, you know, gosh, why am I doing what I'm doing? Maybe it's not making a difference. You know, maybe... you know, there's not purpose in this or whatever, but by knowing that and then seeing sort of the curtain pulled back to that chain reaction of how many good things came about of something kind of tough, is what a great testimony.
It was cool.
It was a great event. Well, John, what's going on in your world right now that you're really wanting to share with people? It's nearly the middle of January, so people's New Year's resolutions have been written down, and probably
abandoned.
A significant percentage have been failed by this time. What kind of encouragement, strength, and hope can you give folks to continue on?
Well, you know, a New Year's resolution is no different than any goal that you should be setting throughout every week of your life, right? The beginning of the year is a great time to kind of get a fresh start. But, you know, one thing I always tell people is this, you know, if you think you're going to set goals in your life and never fail and never sort of fall off the bandwagon, you are setting yourself up for serious disappointment. The truth of the matter is, look, we all miss the mark sometimes, right? We all set goals. I was just reading this morning a book, and they were talking about plans, and they said, listen, setting a big plan is nothing more than a big guess. You know, I mean, we get so into this thing of, well, you got to plan everything out. And it's like, look, be careful that you don't plan so much that if you miss it or if it turns out a different way, that you get so discouraged and you give up. And so there's a fine line between planning and over-planning to the point where your plan now becomes sort of a discouragement to you because you're always missing the mark. So I say all this to say that, look, we're all going to miss the mark. We're all going to fall off the bandwagon sometimes with our goals. Just shake off the dust, get back up, and get going.
I've always loved the saying, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a Duck Dynasty episode where the whole family goes to Hawaii. Scott, you probably remember this one.
Oh, yeah.
The whole family goes to Hawaii. And, you know, what do you think about when you think about going on a family vacation, especially to Hawaii? You're going to think pool, beach, relax,
sure,
do nothing, shop maybe for the ladies, things like that, right? And in this episode, Willie has literally planned out from morning to night what they were going to do and what time,
yeah,
and surf lessons and this and that. And it's like, you know, trying to get these guys excited to do this stuff because he had overplanned,
sure,
a vacation, a time that's supposed to be, you know, quiet and pleasing. And, you know, he was able to go do some of that stuff and a couple people would go with him, but it was not fun because,
yes,
he had overplanned everything.
Yeah. Well, and you know, our plans are there to serve our goals. Our plans aren't there for us to be a slave to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we get it backwards. So what we do is we write down goals and resolutions and things like that, targets that we want to hit in our life. And what happens is if we're not careful, we become a slave to the plan. And in reality, the plan needs to be a slave to our goals, to us. You know, we don't serve the plan. The plan should serve us. And so what I mean by that is, you know, what happens is we set out these goals, these resolutions, these targets. I'm going to lose 10 pounds in 3 days, you know, and all this kind of, sometimes they get really outrageous and, you know, we overshoot. And then what happens is that we become a slave to it. And when we don't hit it, we feel like death. We feel like, oh, I'm done. Forget it. We want to give up. And what we've got to understand is this. Get plans, no doubt. Get targets. Get goals. Set all those for sure. And do your best to work them and do it. But listen, it's there to serve you. If the plan needs to change, change the plan. If the target needs to change, change the target. You know, for weight, a lot of times I set a goal for the week of, you know, hey, I'd like to lose, you know, some weight this week, maybe do this. And here's the deal. Sometimes I hit it, sometimes I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But if I sit there and say, well, I didn't hit it, this is ridiculous, I'm, you know, and get discouraged and give up and all this stuff, listen, it's there to help serve me. It's a guide. It's a guidance system for me. It's not God to me, right? I mean, the goal is not God. It's a guidance system. So again, I'm saying all that to take a little bit of the pressure off, especially this new year when we say, I'm going to go into the new year with a new attitude, a new this. I'm going to walk into work an hour and a half early. I'm going to pray for, you know, this. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to work out 16 hours, you know, and then the day. And, you know, we do all these things sometimes. And then what happens is we miss the mark. We get very discouraged. So I'm just kind of telling you and encourage you, look, if you fall off the bandwagon, if you miss your target, reset, refocus, reshift, shake off the dust, get going, rock and roll. It's day by day, steady by steady that you win the race. It's not a short sprint.
And I think that, you know, the two most common New Year's resolutions made, one, health and fitness goals,
mm-hmm,
hit the gym, go work out, eat,
sure,
healthier, yada, yada, yada. And number two, get right with God. And I think that...
I thought that was interesting. We heard that
mm-hmm,
at church
yeah,
on Sunday. Mm, Pastor Tim shared that was the number two, at least in,
yeah,
simple.
The number two most common, yep, in,
sure,
simple terms, I'm going to get right with God. And,
sure, straighten
you
your
know,
life out.
When I think about it, and I think about kind of my own, I don't like calling them New Year's resolutions because I feel like a goal needs to be a goal, whether it's the beginning of the year or the end of the year or the,
sure,
middle of the year. So,
sure,
but... In my case, it was, you know what, I have never read through Scripture. I've never read through the Bible. And so I went and I picked up a one-year Bible, and I am working towards reading that. And I'm working towards reading through the Bible in a year. And I realized that, you know, okay, there was a couple days ago that I didn't sit and read my daily reading. And so the next day I read both. It only took me about 20 minutes to catch that up. And I realized that if I just focus on it today, then I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to look at how much further do I have to go. It's more just, what do I have to do today?
Sure.
And I think that that's such a key, you know, with health and fitness goals. Scott, you can help me with this too, is a lot of it is, what are your habits? You know, even a lot of these, reaching any goal, no matter what it is, comes down to, what are your habits, and are you creating the habits that are going to help you accomplish your plan, which is going to help you reach your goal? So, you know, I when I talk to people in recovery, it's always, I'm always talking to them about, don't look at, you have to do this or you can't do this for the rest of your life. You may know that deep down. I know deep down I can never take another drink of alcohol for the rest of my life, but I don't have to do it for the rest of my life. I only have to do it today. And if you look at it as one day at a time, and what do you need to do today? What do you need to get accomplished today to reach your goals and to create those habits, those healthy habits that will accomplish those goals? Then it makes it a lot easier to chew. How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. you don't want to take too big of a bite, or you're going to have a hard time swallowing it.
And the secret to a great life is to figure out how to have a great day and just repeat that over and over and over again.
Look at
one
that.
Day at a,
one like
day
an
at
elephant.
A time. Hey, I saw a list and have been implementing this list on a daily basis. I missed one day. And I'll get into why I missed that one day in just a moment. But
I know.
But 5 morning rituals worth trying. Drink a glass of water. Don't check social media for at least an hour. Practice gratitude. Move your body and eat a nourishing breakfast. And several of those things I was violating, or, you know, and the biggest one was social media. I find that if I have a great plan for the day, and it's very easy just to get on Facebook and feel like I have a moral obligation, the world will stop, and if I don't scroll through my newsfeed all the way back to last night when I did the same thing. And so it's been very beneficial, a little challenging, but very beneficial just to say I'm not doing any social media for at least the first hour in the morning. I've seen numerous references to the importance of starting your morning with a big glass of water, preferably some lemon in the water or some apple cider vinegar in the water, some good acid too. To add to the water.
We got
to
talk, honey.
Even if I don't do my morning workout every morning, and I'm not the kind of person that just starts my morning with 35 minutes or so of exercise, but if I even just get on my Schwinn Airdyne bike for 8 to 10 minutes and I'm moving my arms and my legs and it's a good full body workout, then that's a good thing. And either eating some breakfast, I usually do either my hard boiled pickled eggs that I make in advance and love, or I have my coffee with the butter and the coconut oil in it, and I take all my supplements and so forth, and that's pretty much my breakfast. But that was a great routine and a lot of benefit I see left and right to starting your morning mm-hmm. with 12 to 16 ounces of water. It's so easy just to go straight to coffee, and your organs have been dehydrated for the last 12 hours or so, 8 to 12 hours, and it really just jump starts everything and gets your body fired up and working. But I alluded to the idea that I missed one morning, and that's because I currently have a bad back, and most people know that I'm a chiropractor, and so this week has been wrought with all the, oh, I know a great chiropractor you go to, who just the chiropractor, you know, as if a chiropractor never has any sort of a back pain issue or something like that, as if a car mechanic's car never needs its oil changed or something like that.
Well, and honestly, I mean, you've got some predisposal to
this. I do.
This
I have a congenital issue that predisposes to a weakness that flares up about once a year or once every other
year. And it's usually if you've been under stress or not gotten enough sleep or something along
those
lines.
But the interesting thing is it always flares up when I do the silliest thing, reach for the bath towel after stepping out of the shower, tying a shoe or something like that. And there's a reason for that. It's sort of like the titration experiment, remember, from science, where you drop into a beaker or something, and then eventually there's one drop that causes the color change or the crystallization. And we oftentimes ask people, you know, what was the most important drop? And the tendency is to say, oh, the last one. And yet the last one's not the last one without the previous one and the previous one and the previous one. Stress is the same way in our nervous system. We constantly are building up stress, whether it's chemical stress or physical stress or emotional stress. We live in a fallen world, and stress is all around us. And each little stressful event that our body has to deal with is just like one more drop in the titration experiment. And I want to kind of shift gears and sort of create a theme in our last few minutes as we talk today. And I'm kind of titling this session, in spite of the fact that we've talked about a lot of other things at this point, and we're now 22 minutes into the podcast, 21 minutes into the podcast, and now I'm getting to the title topic. But the title topic today is why you shouldn't go to a chiropractor for back pain. Hmm. Why you should not go to a chiropractor for back pain. John, why would we've known each other for several years, and you are not a chiropractor, so you are not expected to fully know the correct answer to this, but I want to know why I would say you should not go to a chiropractor for your back pain.
I'm going to assume here, I'm going to take a stab in dark here and say that you should go see a chiropractor for beyond just back pain. Maybe preemptively going to a chiropractor just so that you can be adjusted, so that your health is optimal, so that you don't get back pain. So I'm going to go kind of with that answer.
Okay.
So not reactive, but more proactive.
That's a great answer.
Okay.
That's a great response. Karen?
I'm not a fair person to ask.
you kind of know the inside here.
I'm not a fair person to ask, I don't think.
Well, I have an answer. And
I understand the importance of regular chiropractic care for wellness and for, you know, keeping your body overall healthy. And so if you're only going for back pain, then you're not really
going only getting a
for
small
the intention
percentage
of right. You're not utilizing chiropractic for the intention of what it is. You shouldn't be going for back pain. You should be going for misalignments in the spine, putting pressure on the nerves.
That's exactly right.
And removing that interference, making your body
overall
healthy. See, someone's not a fair person.
Well, no. You both answered it correctly. The operative word is for. Why you should not go to the chiropractor for back pain. Gotcha. You should certainly go to the chiropractor when you have back pain and when you do not have back pain, when you have digestion problems and when you do not have digestion problems, when you have sleeping issues and when you do not have sleeping issues. The operative word is for. And I think that's the message that I really wanted to communicate about the reason that we go to chiropractors and why, in my opinion, the best way of using a chiropractor is to find a chiropractor who has a membership style practice that promotes and supports the idea that you and your family can go every week or for, you know, we say unlimited. I don't want people to get the impression that they need to go to the chiropractor every day, twice a day. But the reality is that because we live in a stress-filled, fallen world, and there's so much chemical stress that all of us, our children, adults, seniors are under, and so much physical stress and so much mental and emotional stress that creates tension in the body. And chiropractic is really infinitely more about the nervous system, the master system that controls and coordinates every function of every tissue cell in the body, much more than it is the back or the nerves, or rather the bones of the spine. And so that's really what I want to communicate. The best way of using chiropractic is starting today to get adjusted on a regular and ongoing basis. I have a client that might come in, and the patients and the clients always come in typically with a problem, back pain or headaches or something like that. And certainly in their mind, that's why they are coming in. That's the four. I'm going to the chiropractor for my back pain. But what I have to help them to understand when I adjust the spine, my primary focus may be up in the upper cervical spine where the brainstem and the spinal cord meet each other, an area of the spine that has a potential of affecting literally every tissue cell in the body. You know, and what if I adjust you and your back pain doesn't go away? Do you want the nerve supply to your thyroid to be continued to be shut off, the nerve supply to your adrenal glands to continue to be shut off, or your stomach or your lungs or your muscles or whatever? And so that's the big take home, is that the reason that a good chiropractor, in my opinion, should recommend and have a fee structure set in place and a program and package set in place that allows entire families to be under care for the right reason, as you said, John, to be very proactive, Karen, as you said, to make sure that there's a healthy nerve supply to every tissue cell in the body. I close with this. I oftentimes say that going to the chiropractor for back pain is like going to church for the cracker and the juice. It misses the entire point. And the big idea of chiropractic as one piece of a wellness puzzle, the wellness pie, the wellness solution, in addition to exercise and rest and stress management. Well, chiropractic is a big form of stress management. So is exercise. So is rest. So is forgiveness. So is being proactive and having a plan and having goals and not just living to in the path of least resistance and so forth. Everything we talk about, and it has to do with stress management. And of course, we deal a lot with nutritional supplementation to fill in the gaps, herbs and whole food supplements, in addition to helping people to make the wisest decisions in the food they eat, which is a major key there. So that's what I wanted to answer today, was why you don't go to the chiropractor for back pain. Certainly you should go to the chiropractor if you do have back pain, sure, or if you do not have back pain. But there's so much more to the value and benefit of ongoing regular chiropractic care.
Cool.
So that's
yeah.
that.
You know, and it's kind of like, I think a lot of people, kind of taking this back to goals a little bit, but I think a lot of people very much like, you're going to the chiropractor just for back pain. If you go to the gym just to lose that 10 pounds and then you stop going to the gym and you haven't made any other lifestyle mm-hmm. changes, you're just going to gain that 10 pounds, maybe a little bit more right back. And then all of a sudden you've got to go to the gym to lose 12 pounds. So you go to the gym, you lose 12 pounds, you've hit that goal. So now you stop going to the gym and you, so it's kind of like, it's a lifestyle habit. It's a lifestyle change that people need to learn to make. And if they can go to a chiropractor, in spite of whether they have back pain or not, then they're going to start to notice, just like going to the gym on a regular basis, whether you're trying to lose weight or you're just trying to stay healthy, you're going to notice an increase in energy. You're going to notice an increase in your ability to focus and get more work done and be more productive.
A rush of endorphins
exactly.
to make you feel
you're
good. Gonna,
you're, when you get adjusted on a regular basis, you're going to notice that your immune system is fighting things off that maybe it normally wouldn't fight off. You're going to notice that, you know, you're not experiencing the back issues as mm-hmm. much as you used to. You're going to notice that you are standing up straighter and just all of the overall health benefits that you experience are phenomenal. I mean, I used to get sick all the time, and a lot of that was because I was drinking so much and my immune system was shot and all of that. But you know, I look at a lot of people around me who are getting sick with colds and sinus infections and the flu and the stomach flu and, you know, all of these different issues. And I work in a gym, so I'm surrounded by this stuff constantly.
It's almost like working in a daycare.
Exactly. People bring it in. It's around me all the time. And so, but, and yet I, because I get adjusted on a regular basis, my body and my immune system is healthy and I'm able to fight that stuff off.
Well, and I think it's, you know, that proactive versus reactive, you know, and that applies to every area of our life, right? With mm-hmm. health, with our spiritual life, emotional, physical life, all
Absolutely.
These things. And, you know, and you know, be proactive, right? Be intentional about what you do. And instead of always being reactive in life, kind of, you know, instead of being a slave to the system, let the system be a slave to you. And, you know, being a slave to the system is very reactive. When the system is a slave to you, it's very proactive.
Well, and it's like you said earlier, John, it's not that you're never going to fail. Mm-hmm. Scott, it's not that you're never going to have back issues. It's sure. not that you're never going to get sick. You know, it's, but you're giving yourself every opportunity to succeed mm-hmm. and to overcome these things that you possibly can. And so when you do that, you're just allowing yourself a better opportunity for success, whether it's your spiritual life, your overall health, or your fitness.
I've always liked Coach Terry Heppner's quote, have a plan, work your plan, and plan for the unexpected. So that kind of resonates with me. As John, you say, you know, it make your plan your slave instead of being a slave to your mm-hmm. your yeah. plan, that things yeah. are going to come up, and you just have to work it to the best of your ability. But it's important, I think, to at least have a plan as opposed to mm-hmm. just going through mm-hmm. life with reckless abandon. Well, good stuff. Good stuff. Any parting words, John? What I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a large company, and let's say I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, mm-hmm. and I have a large company, and I would like to bring you in to do a keynote presentation, what would your topic be?
I would work with you. I would ask, what are your needs? What are your challenges? And you know, of course, there's a lot of prepackaged stuff that we have beyond the John Maxwell team, a lot of his great content that is being, you know, talked and taught in Fortune 500 companies all the way to the top. So, you know, we have all those, you know, sort of good stuff. But really, I'd sit down with you and say, what is your specific challenges? What are your needs? Where are you wanting to go? What can I do? You know, there's kind of a few questions I'll ask when I come into a place. I say, what can I say that can reinforce what you're already doing? All right, so that's one thing. All right, I can come in as a third party and reinforce what you're already preaching. Is there anything, the next thing I'll ask is there anything that I can say that you can't say? Right, so a lot of companies internally, they're like, boy, we'd really like to say this, but because of politics, because of this, we can't. So, but a third party,
sometimes
someone like
even
me.
In case of the law.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, but a third party can come in and sort of maybe teach some things or challenge people in a way that you know, is acceptable and palatable for the employees. So I'll ask that question, and then I'll say, what can I say that you've never said ever? You know, that just you've never done here, but you want to do it. Is there something I can do to bring in something fresh? So really, it's a sitting down, and it's a really customized fit. In terms of what is it that you want to accomplish in terms of leadership, productivity, effectiveness in your organization, and all of that. So again, we've got some great content. You know, everyone communicates if you connect about communication. We've got some great things about the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership that John teaches. A lot of these just really staple leadership principles that are really add value to organization. But even beyond that, it would be more sitting down and saying, what can I do to add value to where you're going and really help propel that further? And then really customize a fit and kind of submit that and say, does this work? And just kind of come in with a fresh thing. Sometimes having a third party come in, it just gives that boost of energy. It reinforces, it challenges, and it can kind of bring some things in into play that maybe not is there. So it'd really be sitting down and customizing something really specific.
Well, great. I encourage everyone to go to johnbarrettblog.com. John writes on three main categories on a weekly basis: leadership, innovation, and faith.
Yeah.
And would encourage you to subscribe to his blog and get his content. Karen is doing a great job of producing content on a weekly basis. Faith, freedom, and fitness are your three categories. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You're knocking it out. KarenLittle.me and encourage folks to go there and read what Karen's producing. My website is drscottlittle.com. I am now in 2016 really focusing on telephone-based coaching and Skype-based coaching for areas of nutrition and functional health, whether someone has diabetes or pre-diabetes, trying to prevent heart disease, maybe has had a heart attack and needs some lifestyle changes. Maybe they've just gotten word that their cholesterol is too high or they've got some gastrointestinal issues and things of that nature. Working on with people one-on-one via telephone and Skype, so you don't even have to be in Bloomington, Indiana, for us to work together and to really make a significant difference in your life. Just go to drscottlittle.com and connect with me through that. Well, for Karen Little and John Barrett, I am Dr. Scott Little. The show is Your Great Life Game Plan, where we say the secret to a great life is to figure out how to have a great day, a great week, a great month, a great year, and just repeat that over and over and over again. It's good to have a plan. Don't be a slave to your plan. Let your plan be your slave, your tool to accomplish all that God created you to be. We'll be back next week. Have a great day. Hey, friend, please go to iTunes and give us a nice 5-star rating and give us a nice review there. That would really help us out and increase our listenerhood. So please just go to iTunes and give us a great review. Thank you so much.